The topic that we want to talk about this evening has to do with feelings. And so I want to make connection with a lesson we had just a few weeks back, maybe as far as a month back, where we talked about feelings are not any good in helping us to know what God would have us to do. We need to be wary of acting on our feelings, because feelings come from man, and the Word, the truth, comes from God. And so we need to go to the Word of God in order to get the truth, in order to know that we're doing that which is pleasing unto God. The title of this lesson this evening is titled, More Than Better. And it is based on a devotion I read from Brother Gary Henry. It's been several years back when I read it. I don't know when he actually wrote it. But it has to do with the idea that most of the people in the world have this desire to feel better about themselves. Almost everything that the people of the world and society are focused on is to help them feel better, to feel like they are doing better, like they're having better health, they're having a better life. Oftentimes, even in raising our children, we approach it from the standpoint of, I want them to have a better life than I had growing up. I want them to experience better things. And we need to understand that because we belong to God, we have a higher standard than better. Feeling better about ourselves, about our situation, about our life, we can get that by going to the self-help aisle in the bookstore. We can get any kind of book to make us feel better in any kind of situation. But in the ultimate end of all things, in the scheme of life, those things are not going to do us any good, because they're all about making us feel better. And in order for us to be pleasing unto God, in order for us to carry out our responsibilities and do what God would have us to do, we need more than just those inspirational speeches and stories that will help us to feel better. We need to understand that what we've got to work on is actually doing better, growing in our understanding and application of the Word of God. You see 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 there on the screen. And you are familiar with that passage, I know. Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but rather grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Peter says what we need to do is concentrate on growing, increasing in our knowledge and understanding of the will of the Lord. And that means that we're going to have to do more than just feel better. You know, all of us have been sick at some time or another, and there's a point at which we start to feel better, but we're not actually getting better sufficiently. And we start feeling better, and we get up and we start doing because I've got more strength and I can do what I couldn't do yesterday. And so I get up and I start doing, and then we find ourselves back in the sick bed again because we weren't actually doing better. We just felt better. There's the difference in what we're talking about. We need more than that. We need to actually grow and increase. No matter how we feel about our life, we've got a place that we have to go to measure our lives to determine whether we're actually doing better or not. And that begins with reevaluation. We touched on this verse this morning where Paul tells the Corinthian brethren that they need to examine themselves. That's not just a, how do I feel about how things are going? That's a digging into the Word of God and comparing how I'm conducting myself with what God has given me to guide. That's going and seeing if any of those areas where Paul warns his readers that they ought to turn loose of these things. You remember over there in Colossians chapter 3 where he talks about lay aside, lay behind, turn loose of, put to death are some of the phrases that we find throughout the pages of Scripture in regards to our old life. And then he says, put on. Or be alive in is kind of the idea that we're given in some of those things as well. We put off the things of the flesh. We put behind us lying. We put behind us deceit and covetousness and focus on self. And we replace that with the truth and with a focus on helping others and a focus on Christ. We turn loose of the treasures and riches that we may have or have desire for here upon this earth, and we grab hold of the treasures that are in heaven through changing how we conduct ourselves. That's what we're talking about. We talk about this reevaluation. It's not just looking and saying, okay, here's all the things that I've got in life, and here's the things that I wanted to have in life, and so I'm getting real close to there, so I must be doing all right. No, we're comparing with the wrong things there. We go to the Word of God, and we examine ourselves, as Paul tells those brethren, to see if you are in the faith. You look at your life and determine whether it is in agreement with the will of the Lord. That's what we're talking about when we talk about reevaluation. Most all of us here this evening have evaluated ourselves at some time or another. But we have to be constantly doing that. It's not something that we can lay aside for any length of time and still expect to be growing and increasing. When your children were growing up, how often did you measure them and weigh them? The younger they were, the more often, right? As they got older, you got to where you didn't worry so much about whether you could see a little better the changes and the adjustments that were happening. When we are looking at our children's knowledge and how they're doing at school, their education, we evaluate that against what? Against the standard that we have. Sometimes the parent standard is different from the school standard. And so we may have a little stronger test than they might have at school when we try to determine whether our children are increasing and growing. So we need to go to the standard, the Word of God, and compare our lives to it on a regular, constant, consistent basis using the same standard. What we're looking for is, am I growing in God? Not do I feel good about how things are going in my life. We can confuse ourselves and deceive ourselves into thinking that we're doing good for God by simply looking at how I feel about what's going on. Do I feel like I know more than I did 5 years ago? Do I feel like I'm stronger in my faith today than I was 10 years ago? Well, yes, I do. I mean, I've got 5 years on me. So, sure, I'm stronger in my faith than I used to be. But am I really? When I go and I look at how I'm conducting myself, are there sufficient adjustments in my life to show that I'm stronger in my faith than I was 10 years ago? Maybe sometimes we need to look and say, you know, how much scripture can I think of? If someone were to ask me about baptism, how many scriptures can I bring to mind that would help me talk to someone about baptism? And I'm not talking about being able to rattle off the book, chapter, and verse, but knowing the words that are there. Knowing what the scripture says about that. And then having a general idea of where to go so we could point it to somewhere else, to someone else. If someone wants to talk to us about the society issues of today, any one of the big issues that we've got bouncing around out there that everybody's upset about, do you have answers for those things? Have you grown to the point in your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God that if somebody wants to talk to you about that, you can engage in a semi-intelligent conversation from the Bible about what it says regarding those things? Most of us know the kind of questions that we're going to run up against from our friends and neighbors on a regular basis. If I go and compare myself to the Word of God and evaluate where I am now versus where I was 5 years ago or 2 years ago, because sometimes we can't remember 5 years ago, can I see an increase? Can I see a better knowledge of the Word of God? Am I better able to handle those things? Some of us have been hearing the same questions for 15, 20, 30, 40 years. We need to reevaluate on a regular basis. Just like we evaluate our children in school or their education, we evaluate our health on a regular basis, we need to reevaluate our growth in the Lord. Am I increasing? Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Where do I fit? How do I stand? Is my faith stronger? Am I increasing and growing? It's more than just, I feel like I'm doing okay. I actually go through the process of checking yourself. Take the test. But evaluation does us no good if all it does is tell us what our situation is and doesn't cause us to make any change. That's where we come to the second thing this evening, repentance. When John went about preaching the necessity of repenting for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he had Jews from all stations of life that came to him. From the lowest of the low to the highest of the high came to hear what was going on, to see what was happening. And in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, we read, "When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham.'" When we evaluate ourselves and see where we stand, and we take that test, whatever test we give to ourselves to make that evaluation, and we see, yeah, I'm doing pretty good here, not so well here, I've fallen there. What do we do with that? Well, that should cause us to make a change, to make an adjustment. Because what we're seeing there is we are failing in serving God. Well, now, wait a minute. I didn't commit sin. Well, that may not be, but remember the instruction that Peter gave was that we are to grow, to increase in our knowledge and understanding of the will of the Lord. We're supposed to become closer to Christ and closer to God. And if we've fallen back in some area, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Maybe it's because we were concentrating on something else and we didn't spend enough time in that area to keep ourselves up like we ought to. Maybe it's because we thought, you know, I'm doing real good in this area. I'm great at doing this particular thing, and so I'm not going to have to work on that very much. Well, we know that won't work. That's just like pulling the paddle in out of the canoe. We're going along at a good clip, so I'll just pull my paddle in and we'll just go along and slower and slower and slower. We have to keep putting input in order to grow and to increase. And when we find one of those situations where we're not increasing, we need to make changes. And that's what John was talking about here. When he went out preaching this, he saw Pharisees and scribes coming to him. And he knew what kind of people the scribes and Pharisees were. Or the Pharisees and Sadducees, I should say. The Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. And so, I'm confident in saying that part of what John looked at, you Sadducees, have you changed your mind about the resurrection? Do you believe that part of the will of God now? Do you believe that God is alive? That he's the God of the living? You Pharisees, have you finally come to the understanding that it's more than just making sure everybody sees what you do? It's actually the attitude of heart that you have as you do those things. That it's not just keeping your little minute, detailed commands that you've given to yourself, but it's giving your heart and soul to the Lord. See, if they were to evaluate themselves against the Word of God, these are some of the areas where they would have been lacking. John said,
did you really make those changes in your life?
Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Demonstrate that you have changed. And that's exactly what's expected of us. When we inventory our lives and determine where we stand, it's going to tell us what direction we need to go. Where we need help, where we're doing well, where we may have completely failed. And we need to take action upon those things. We need to make the necessary adjustments to fix that. If we find that one of the tires on our car has only got 20 pounds of air instead of 35 pounds of air, what do? We go put more air in it, don't we? And more often than not, if we're thinking ahead, we check to see how come there's not that much air in there to begin with. Where's the hole? Because we want to fix what we found that was wrong. And that's what we're talking about with repentance. It's not enough to look at where we are and say, here's what I've done, here's what I... We have to actually take the action to make the change. We have to actually repent. That doesn't mean that every time we find some area where we may have fallen or we may have slipped, that we have to come forward to the front bench at the singing of the invitation song and ask the brethren to pray for us. What it means is we need to make the adjustment. It may be something that we need to pray to God and seek for His forgiveness. More than likely, it's definitely going to be something that we need to pray to God and say, Lord, give me strength and help me to do better in this area. Help me to grow and to make this change in a manner that is pleasing to You. And would allow me to be more beneficial and useful. We need to reevaluate. We need to repent. And we need to renew our commitment. I've heard folks in the past who have said, well, I committed my life to God 30 years ago. I told God that I was committed to Him, and that's all I need to do. I'm satisfied that God knows I'm committed to doing His will. Really? What about when you go and look and evaluate and find out that I've not been doing everything that I ought to be doing? Or I've slacked off in some of what God expects of me. Can you still say that you've committed yourself to God? You've been committed to Him all that time? I don't think so. I'm convinced that we need to be constantly renewing our commitment. Used to when I talk about attending services, and I talk about those who are faithful, I would say they committed themselves to attend all the services years ago. When they get up on Sunday morning, they don't have to make that decision again. And there's some truth to that. But every time we get up on Sunday morning, we have to commit ourselves to attend worship anew. Now, it may be a very easy decision for us because we decided long ago there's going to be very few things, if any, that are going to keep me from getting to worship service sometime or another on Sunday. I'm going to be there unless I just absolutely cannot do. But we still, every time, make that commitment to, I'm going today. At least we ought to be. We ought to be refreshing our commitment to the Lord on a daily basis. When's the last time you kneeled or bowed in prayer to God and committed yourself to God again? Lord, I've been serving You for years. Lord, I always want to please You, and so from this point forward, I'm going to devote myself solely to serving You and reaffirm that commitment to God and then actually follow through with that. We don't think it's strange anymore when a couple reconfirms or recommits in marriage. In fact, we think it's a good idea. It's a reminder that we've committed ourselves to this union and we're going to keep working at it just like we were when we first got married. We need to have that idea of a continual devotion to God, to doing the things that will draw me nearer and nearer to our God. for the most part, most of us who are gathered here this evening already know the areas where we are strong and where we are weak. It's good for us to go back and do a reevaluation from time to time and check to see if there might be something that we've missed, and certainly to make the changes that are necessary to set that right. But most of us are well aware of our weaknesses and our strengths. Talking to Brother John before services this evening, and I told him, it's quite apparent to most folks that both he and I are very verbose people. We can say a lot of words. We're real strong in speaking things. Sometimes we can even speak things that make sense and are useful and helpful. Hopefully we do that most of the time. We've got a strength in that matter. And we know that, but that doesn't mean we can slack off on that. But that's one of our strong points. And so we don't have to watch that quite as closely as, say, taking time away from the world to just meditate and dwell on the Word of God. Or take time away from all of the cares and troubles of life and just sit down in a quiet and calm place and talk to God. Maybe that's where our weakness is. You know what your weaknesses are. Question is, are you committing yourself on a regular basis to strengthen those things? If you know where your problem is, what are you doing to set it right? That's the idea we have with this renewed commitment. Recognizing here's a place where I need to work, and so I'm going to work that much harder in this area. Because we need to be careful of falling behind and getting focused on what has been. The Philippian letter in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul is not saying that we never even think about what happened in the past. There's too many other places where he tells us we need to learn from our mistakes and we need to learn from the examples of others that have been committed in the past. What Paul is telling us is we need to be constantly moving forward. Increasing in all the things that we're doing, not resting back on the fact that I'm real strong in this area and I'm a little weak over here, but my strength here is so good it's going to carry me through that weak spot. No, being able to talk a whole lot is not going to do a whole lot if you're not spending much time praying to God. It's not going to help you in that. Having an ability to speak to others is not going to do you any good whatsoever if you don't have the knowledge to back it up. In fact, that's one of the problems that the Apostle Paul said his brethren, the Israelites, had. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They were doing a lot of things, but they weren't in accordance with what God would expect because they weren't listening to His commands. They didn't know His Word. We need a renewal of commitment. Rather than feeling better or having better moods, and I know better moods are something all of us wish we had sometimes, we need to focus on what really matters. One of the reasons for presenting this lesson is I was reading the other day, and one of my preaching brethren talked about how we deal with folks who have depression and have sorrow. And one of the points he made is rather than telling those folks that they need to get busy working for the Lord, we need to be feeling with them and we need to understand them. And I realize there's a need for us to consider the feelings and the understandings and the situation of various ones. And when someone has sorrow and it's bringing them down, just telling them to get up and get busy is not going to take, that's not going to do the job. But one of the things that I see in the book of Job, and this is one of the places that I went back and was thinking about after reading an article he was talking about, you know what the ultimate thing is that God told Job to do? Quit moping about what's going on and get up and be busy doing what it is you're supposed to do. You read through all the things that Job and his friends were talking about, and at the very end, the instruction that God gives to Job, remember who I am, versus who you are,
And now get up and take care of the problems that your friends have caused. You offer sacrifices for them, for their sins. In other words, Job, at least a part of what you need to do is get up and get busy helping other people. And I think that's something that we need to understand. Yes, there is a need to consider a person's feelings. And I know there are some folks that their depression is something that just getting up and getting busy helping other people is not going to help. They may need some medical assistance. Well aware of that. But most of us, when we get into a down mood and start feeling bad, if we want to feel better, the quickest thing is to go help somebody else. And I'm convinced that's one of the things that we will learn if we start evaluating our life against the Scriptures. When we start looking at the life that Christ lived while He was here upon the face of this earth and comparing it to our own life, I'm convinced that the great majority of us are going to find that we fall way behind Christ in taking care of others. Christ, in His life here upon the face of the earth, was completely focused on others. It was all about us, not Him. Now, we're not going to work miracles like He did or like the apostles did, but we can serve others. And if we're willing to put forth the effort to evaluate ourselves and make the necessary changes and commit ourselves to becoming more like Christ, we're going to have what we really need. We're going to see growth in our spiritual lives, and we're going to draw closer to God and closer to Jesus, closer to our brethren, and we're going to feel better. We're going to have better moods. Because when we take the focus off of how terrible and awful things are in my life and start looking at what God expects of us and how much I can do to help others, we see progress because we're bringing ourselves closer to the life that Christ has led for us. I'm convinced that to feel better, we have to start by bringing ourselves closer to the Lord. And we do that through these three steps. And it is not a one-time and done process. We can't look back and say, well, you know, I recommitted myself to the Lord just a year or so ago. I was down on my knees and just begging Him to help me to grow and increase. And that's just, you know, that's got to be a regular process in our lives. Every day when we get up, we ought to commit ourselves to the Lord. Every day when we go to bed, we ought to look and see, how did the day match what Christ wants me to do? Constantly evaluating, adjusting, and committing ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis. And the more we do that, the closer we will be to God. And I'm convinced the better we're going to feel. Because we'll take our minds off of the world and put them on eternity. Maybe you look this evening and you find there's some things that need to be corrected. Where you don't stand as high as you ought to in accordance with the will of God. Urge you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. If it's of a public nature or something that you need the brethren's assistance in overcoming, we're more than willing to do what we can to assist you in that. Remember, no matter what our burden is, our brethren can help us bear it if we make them aware of it. Because we're all about helping and serving one another. If you look this evening and find there are things in your life that are amiss and that need help of the brethren, and we can assist you, opportunity is yours. Why don't you come and we'll stand in the sanctuary?